Children in Ireland are waiting, it seems, up to 2 years for any kind of therapy or treatment for obesity. Around 80,000 Irish children or adolescents are now clinically obese in Ireland, but the country's primary clinic to treat them in Temple Street Children's Hospital is struggling to cope with the demand. And to discuss all of this, I'm joined now by Professor Donal O'Shea, who is the HSE Clinical Lead for Obesity. Donal, are we losing this battle? 80,000 kids, teens, children who are clinically obese. That's a bad statistic.
It's a dreadful statistic. The length of time that people have to wait to access treatment and the fact that treatment is currently centred around hospital clinics is especially, for kids and adults, it's the wrong approach. And we know that. And when I took up the kind of HSE lead post for obesity there last year, there was a clear policy that had been drawn up by GPs, by, hospital-based medical people saying, yeah, we've got to deliver most of the treatment for overweight and obesity close to where people live. So to be bringing people 60, 70, 80 miles for what you know needs to be a regular intervention, it just doesn't work. And we know that. So we know that the Temple Street intervention delivers good outcomes in line with other international interventions. But the problem is the attrition rate, the people who just can't continue to get there.
Okay, so it's
so our, the reach, we need to be delivering an intervention locally, and that has to be a family-based intervention for kids. We've just got to move our thinking to that. And at the same time, we've got to realize that the success of these interventions in obesity in adults are to achieve 10% weight loss.
Mm-hmm.
And in children, you're talking about equivalent. But by the time you're at the extreme end of obesity, 10%, if you're, right out at the extreme end, it's going to be good for your health, but you're going to want a lot more than that.
Okay.
So that's they're the challenges. So prevention and all the things that the government are trying to do around minimum standards for nutrition in schools, around a sugar tax, they're the things that we've got to build in.
Donal, I hear what you're saying about it needing to be delivered locally, and I suppose we're talking about families, GPs, schools, all that kind of stuff all being brought together. I know over the course of my career as a doctor, I saw the kids coming into the surgery getting heavier. I mean, it was quite clear 20 years ago when I was a doctor, you didn't see that many heavy kids. And towards the end of my tenure as a GP, what I would have seen is I would have seen two things. I would have seen kids who came in who were a normal weight that the parents believed were underweight because they were, I don't know what they were benchmarking them against. But I even had kids brought into me who were clearly overweight, whose parents were concerned they weren't eating enough. Have we lost the ability to judge when it comes to our weight, that we now think people who are normal weights are underweight and people who are actually overweight, that's normal?
Yeah, that's absolutely happened. And, about 15 years ago, I did a survey of medical students and GPs and hospital-based docs. If you show somebody a picture of a patient who's in the kind of grade 3 category of obese, so the extreme end of obesity, most healthcare practitioners and medical students think that person is just a little bit obese.
Mm-hmm.
If you show them someone who's obese, their guesstimate is they're overweight. And if you show them someone who's overweight, their guesstimate is they're a healthy weight.
Okay, so we've shifted
our medical. So our whole lens has shifted as the population has got bigger. We keep repeating the socioeconomic separation that's there. But, that is almost the biggest challenge that lies within the childhood obesity epidemic. It is that in our lowest socioeconomic group, 12% of our 3-year-olds are obese, and in our upper that's 3%.
Okay.
And the extremity within that lower and higher socioeconomic group is also different.
Okay. So four times the level of obesity in that age group, depending on whether you're in a, I suppose, from a privileged background or not.
Here, you know?
Yeah. And very interesting. A lot of people coming on here on the text line. Barry says, obesity shouldn't be treated. It's not a disease. People can cure themselves. What would you say to people who say that we shouldn't be intervening here? Someone else says, 80,000 fat kids is due to 660,000 bad parents. Don't wait for 2 years for an expensive consultation. Stop buying bad food today. Is it as simple as that, Donald? Is it as simple as bad parenting? There's an awful lot of that being said on the text line at the moment.
Yeah, that's you know, the common kind of knee-jerk reaction is that it's all about personal responsibility and parenting. You know, there is no such thing as a bad parent. Now, that's not quite true, but, you know, 99.99% of parents want the absolute best for their kids, don't want to have an obese kid, but you've got an environment that is driving the consumption of high-fat, high-salt, high-sugar food. 80% of celebrity endorsement of products is around that top shelf of the food pyramid that we're not meant to be consuming very much of. We have a physical activity environment that has kind of collapsed in the last 30 years. And it really is in the last 30 years that obesity has doubled at a population level. But while it's doubled at a population level, it has exploded out at the extreme end. So we have more extreme obesity. That's gone up by about 1,200%. So
1,200%
for the extreme end of obesity in the last 30 years.
Okay.
So it's and honestly, we understand now how fat tissue works. We understand more about kind of the biology of adipose tissue. So it's not simply acceptable anymore to say eat less, move more, and you will lose weight in a linear fashion. We know that doesn't happen.
Okay.
We also know that if you eat 600 calories compared to me eating 600 calories, that actually what your body will take out of that is slightly different for you and me of that energy in, just because of things like how your gut transit time is, mm-hmm. and what your gut microbiome is like, those things. And little effects over time are you know, have a massive effect on your weight over a year or two.
Okay. Bear with me 1 second, Donal, because one of our listeners is on the line, Hugh. Hugh, you've heard what Donal has to say. You've heard about 80,000 teens and children clinically obese in Ireland. We don't seem to be winning this battle, but yet we have huge waiting lists to actually get kids towards treatment. What do you think of it all?
From a chef's point of view, I mean, it has to be the processed food that we eat. It really is. It takes such a huge part of their lives. Every corner of the turn are given garbage.
Mm.
You know, and it's teaching parents to stop their kids eating garbage, because these kids are almost addicted to processed foods, and they become little sugar junkies. And because they don't do as much exercise as what they did before, they're just sitting about, just getting big and fat. So kids have to drop the screen, get outside, play games, do what I used to do when I was young, you know. Don't be so soft on kids, you know. Let them do their own thing. But it's also the parents as well. The parents are lazy, because it's easy to give a kid a burger or a pound cottage pie, a euro cottage pie, than prepare something fresh.
Yeah.
So if you're preparing something fresh, It's not just an education, it's an activity.
But
so
what about the parents that don't know how to make a cottage pie? Cause, and I'm not being patronising, there's a ton of people out there that have lost the skills around cookery, around the preparation of food.
Well, then you get back to, you blame the education system, because the education system deleted cookery from the curriculum. So people have to eat, you have to eat, it's a survival method. You have to be able to eat. So why don't the schools put it back in? Why, I do stuff for the Springboard Charity here in the UK, and we go into schools as chefs to show kids and demonstrate and get them interested in food, so that they go home and ask their parents, I want to make that.
Okay.
Listen, and hopefully that will instill, you know?
Yeah. No, thank you for that, Hugh. Donal, you heard what Hugh had to say. Hugh's a chef. You know, are we eating crap? Are we eating so much processed food at this stage that that's, you know, we're nearly hooked on it?
Yeah, I mean, I think that is, you know, the obesogenic environment is that combination of inactivity and high processed, consumption of high processed, high fat, high salt, high sugar foods. And, you know, education is a big part of the way out of this. You know, the new wellbeing curriculum has started in all secondary schools in Ireland this year, and that's going to be 300 hours in the first 3 years of secondary school of lifestyle education, and that includes cookery skills and nutrition knowledge.
Yeah.
Now, you know, that's one really important step. We have to make sure it works and that it's actually affecting how people cook and how they eat. Because we've absolutely got to change that. And we also have to dispel the myth that it is expensive to eat healthily. It can be expensive to eat healthily, but it is possible and very possible to eat healthily for the same as it would be to go to the local takeaway 5 days a week.
Yeah.
There's no doubt about that. We've got to upskill.
Interesting text here, Donald. Someone says the HSE could start fighting obesity by handing out free formula in our maternity hospitals. A lot of people do talk about the sort of the habits of a lifetime being laid down in infancy. And I know I breastfed all my kids, and on occasion I was told by public health nurses that they were underweight. They were never underweight, but that they were, because breastfed babies are smaller on those centile charts than bottle fed babies, which is what the centile charts were based on. Are we getting it wrong from the get-go in terms of even from where we take baby nutrition up?
Absolutely. And you know, we have amongst the lowest breastfeeding rates in the developed world. And the only group that we are seeing breastfeeding really on the rise in Ireland is in the immigrant population that have come into Ireland from other countries. And I'm not sure why our rates are so low. It's a major push within the HSE to get more breastfeeding across all sections of society, because it's not just about the weight. The benefits for the baby's immune system and their tendency to develop allergies and things like that, I mean, the benefits are huge, and we just have to get that better. And I think if you have a wellbeing curriculum that's educating kids in their kind of 12, 13, 14, that's the age that most girls have made the decision, believe it or not, that they will breastfeed in the event of having a kid.
Yeah.
It's a really early decision in their life course development, and it's got to be positive messaging from the get-go.
Yeah, I hear you. And thank you very much for that indeed. That is, of course, Donal O'Shea, their clinical lead on obesity from the HSE. Lots of you getting involved on the text line. Someone says, the availability of cheap multi-pack sweets is a factor. When I was young, we had a regular bar. Now the kids get a family bar or a multi-bar for £1.50. That's all true. Someone else says, go onto YouTube, Ciara. You can search for any recipe and you'll get a demo on how to cook it. Ignorance is no excuse for not eating properly, except for most people don't think of doing that when they're used to preparing food by sticking two potato waffles into the toaster. You know, they don't think about other ways of cooking it, because sometimes they don't even know other food exists. Like, a lot of people have very limited diets. And I'm not, again, I have to say to you, I'm not being patronising. I've seen this myself for many years in people's homes. That's just the way people eat. And someone else says, big shout out to the Craig College in Gorey for their fantastic healthy eating policy. Healthy hot lunches at affordable prices. It can be done. And that's from Anya, who says she's a very happy parent. Let us know what you think. We appear to be losing the battle. What do you feed your kids? Is that a battle as well at home? Do you struggle to get them to eat healthily? And how do you get around it?